The Spiritual Surgery Podcast with Paula Mary, international psychic medium and healer. The Spiritual Surgery Podcast is a development show focusing on techniques, debates, guests, and much more. To get in touch, email spiritualsurgery@thepsychicclinic.com.
For over 25 years, Lorna Dugan has dedicated her career to coaching, developing and therapeutically empowering individuals. Using relentless commitment and her skills developed in education, coaching, hypnosis and NLP. She uses these skills to empower others to become who they really are and not what the world wants them to be. So I am delighted to welcome Lorna Dugan to the Spiritual Surgery Podcast. Thank you for joining me, Lorna. It's lovely to meet you.
Thank you for having me, Paula. Lovely to be here.
I just want to start and I just want to tell the listeners that I saw you on TikTok and I was inspired by you. I was inspired by your energy, by your enthusiasm, by your empowerment, just about the way you were and how you're helping loads of thousands of people.
Thank you.
I wanted to say, how did you start this journey? Ooh. And how did you take up the work that you do?
Yeah, so the work that I do now is different to the work that I did previously. So previous to working in the therapy world, I worked in corporate world. So I was a senior manager for a very, very well-known blue chip company. I was an HR manager for McDonald's Restaurants Limited.
Wow.
And I used to look after the north of England, Scotland and Ireland.
Gosh, so that sounds very tough.
It was. It was a really big remit, and it was the HR arm of the business, operations arm of the business. So it was about people development, training and coaching and leading teams and leading the senior leaders of the business.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was a really responsible job, which I did love and I did enjoy. But with any type of job that comes with that level of responsibility, the higher you go up the chain, the more you know, the more you see, yes, and the more I became to dislike it and the people, yes, I was working for. Not the company, I'll be honest. I thought the company gave me incredible opportunities, and for that I'll always be grateful. Yes. However, I started to see things that were not meeting my values. I wasn't living my values. In fact, right, I'd actually realised I wasn't living my values the whole way through. Pleasing. And
yes,
because I hadn't always, when I went into that world, I felt that was a place where I could show my worthiness.
Yes.
I could show that I'm successful, that I'm good enough.
Yes.
That I can be something. And this proves to all of you out there on the outside, I am all those things. When actually it was bullshit, because I had the car, the house, package, the private,
yes, house,
I thought that meant success, and it doesn't. And it doesn't. So there was two, yeah, things going on. I wasn't living according to who I was. And I didn't know who I was, by the way. I was an excellent person. I was a people pleaser.
Right.
I'm a recovering people pleaser. And I've been a people pleaser since my childhood, if the truth be told, because that's when I learned to become a people pleaser because of my environment.
Yes.
And like I say, this was a place where I could excel in. And I thought I was getting belonging, validation, sense, yes, of worth. And it turns out that was not the place for me. I left. I did resign pretty promptly and abruptly from the company because one of the senior leaders crossed a serious boundary of mine, and I knew it was time to go at that point.
Yes.
And then, so to take you to this, I'm a big long-winded answer, isn't it?
No, it's really interesting.
Oh, I tell you, and I'm just giving you snippets. And then I moved away quickly. Not quickly, I had to do this 12 weeks. They made me wait 12 weeks because it was this that came with responsibility. You couldn't just walk out. I took a massive backward step because at that point in my life, I was incredibly unhappy with myself. Who was I? What did I want to do? Definitely, yes, didn't want to go back into the corporate world. Didn't know what I wanted. And so I took a job locally rather than always travelling about the country. And I worked for a charity for a while.
Right.
It was a charity that was on the kind of cusp of growth. It was exponential growth, yes. Actually. It was doing really good things. So I said, look, I'll do your HR piece. They were recruiting like 60 staff. They didn't have any systems or processes. I could do that on my shot. So it was a good period for me to take a break and to work out what's next rather than get into the corporate world again because I knew I didn't want it.
Yes.
And I learned so much from that. I didn't know, right? So the charity taught me good things. It taught me real life. People in communities were hungry, that people were socially isolated, people were struggling with mental health. People were struggling. I had been oblivious to that, selfishly in my own head.
But I think it's about wanting to achieve, and I think it goes back to childhood maybe, I know for me, wanting to be successful because of you've got the pressure of them wanting you to be something that you might not can be, and you put yourselves into these difficult situations, I think we do, don't we?
I've done it my whole life, and that was definitely what I was doing there. And coming out into the charity really opened my eyes up, lifted the veil off to see what was really going on in the world. I learned a lot. It's quite painful learning, actually, to see what's going on out in the world.
It's so sad to see how people live sometimes and how they get themselves into that situation. Where it's a different world if you go to corporate and work in there. It's good, like you'd say, it's completely different. It's not balanced at all, is it?
Absolutely not. Learning. I mean, wonderful foundations to learn as you're learning on the job, but also to transfer a skill set into a charity that would be benefiting from it. So that was great. Yes. That was all good. But then my light went off. My light went off. It was the big, the crushing of my life, the biggest crushing. I'd always had disappointments and setbacks and difficulty in my life, just like everybody else had. And, there's a number of times I can look back in different times and go, God, that was shit, that was bad, that was hard, that was dreadful lessons. Yes. But it wasn't until this moment in my life where my light went off. And it was because I had, at this time that I had left McDonald's to then go into the charity to find my feet. I had, I was divorced, by the way, as well. I was divorced. I had a young son. And I went into a new relationship. And I entered into what I would describe as a dysfunctional family system.
Right.
Which was headed up by a narcissistic parent.
Right.
And I should have noticed the signs at the start, because I definitely see them all now. All those red flags that I missed, they were waving at me brightly through my rose-coloured specs. but I was people-pleasing still at this point in my life, still going along, getting along, wanting to be liked, wanting to be seen as who I want you to see me as. I'll do what you want. And I would be just like a bloody chameleon. I would go along, get along, merge into your wants. I'll give you what you need. I'll get you that. I'll do that for you. Such an accommodating person with no edges, no boundaries, no sense of really who I was. And so for that period of my life, I was very subtly being chipped away at.
And did you know in yourself when you were doing people pleasing that it wasn't right for you? Or did it suddenly come up with a light bulb? Or did you think, no, I need to do this? Or did you suddenly get triggered, I can't do this anymore?
Yeah, so that happened, right? So that I can't do that happened just after my wedding day.
Oh, my goodness.
It should have been my happiest day of my life, but it was actually, if I look back now, it was my worst day of my life. It was
but
ruined.
I would say you needed to do that to get where you are now.
I did. So there had been a whole catalogue of discrepancies and disrespect and undermining of me and treating me poorly and abusing me emotionally and psychologically, not just from the parent but other people in the family. They were being encouraged to turn and pit against me, they were all working at it. And it was the wedding day was the moment that everything changed. And that's enough now. That's enough now because I went from, it was the darkest moment of my life, I went to the place just after that to not wanting to live here. I was definitely, I was in that place. You can imagine what I'm saying.
Yes, I can
imagine. Wasn't good because I was being actively isolated and people lying about me and actively getting people to change their mind. It was horrible. It was actually just sick.
Anyway. But you got the courage to come out of that, didn't you, Lorna? That's amazing.
Therapy. Yeah, it was therapy got me through that. I went to therapy and that was the moment when I knew I wanted to do the same.
Right.
So then I went and retrained again.
Wow.
And it was great because I could do the charity and I retrained at the same time because it wasn't as a responsible job as I used to have. I had more time on my hands.
Yes.
So I was able to go and retrain again so that I knew. I just knew anyway because I was meant to meet the therapist. That therapist ended up supervising me actually when I became qualified, which was really interesting. But therapy changed my life. But then I knew that I was in a purposeful place. I knew that I had to lift the lid on emotional abuse, narcissistic abuse, childhood trauma, because obviously I had to end up unraveling my own childhood trauma in order to heal so that then I could.
Yes.
I knew that I would end up working then in the places and the spaces that were around my own story.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what I've done.
Wow. That is absolutely amazing. And it takes so much courage to do that because a lot of people would crumble.
I nearly did.
Yes. But you haven't. And you did. And you're helping lots of people.
I nearly did. There's something inside you, though, bigger than you, something bigger than me. It was a higher thing, I'll be honest with you. This is where now you and I, why I've connected. Yes. Something bigger than me. I don't know what it was. Something, a force inside of me said, you keep going.
I mean, when I look at you, you've got such a wonderful energy and it goes deep within your soul. So I would say you were looked after and you've been shown that you need to help lots of people as well, and this is your path. So, I mean, you've got the most amazing energy connection. So, I would say that came in very quickly.
I felt it, and it guided me, and it wouldn't go away.
No,
it didn't go away. And people, I couldn't tell MD that though, and I haven't. You're the first I've probably said this.
Oh well, that's amazing because I can see more predominantly. And I hope you don't mind me saying it, but on your sort of family, on your mother's side of the family, that they're wanting change.
That's lovely.
And so the change has come in from spirit with the light energy to help you through that. I feel that with
Isn't
you.
That amazing? Well, I feel something too, right? I don't know what it is. I just know. And I felt, and it did pull me out the river, whatever it was that happened to me. I can't describe it. All I know is I remember sitting in my bed in my house and one day it was as if I could hear the voice, have to keep going. But it was bigger than me and it was...
Yeah, well, I think it's in your soul. I mean, you've got a most powerful healing energy in your soul and I feel that is, you know, we have to go to the depths of despair sometimes, don't we? To then really dig so deep within us to come out of that and shine and help others. And I think that's what's happened.
Yeah, that is it. So life-changing stuff. I mean, hated it at the time and still don't like it. Still would say,
no.
Sort of a grief in your work that you do. I carry a pocket of grief within me.
Yes. But that's okay because I think we have to, I think we have to hold grief a little bit. Because grief is such a powerful thing as well, but it can be looked as a positive. We can turn it. Yeah. We can turn it, but it's good to acknowledge it.
I know it's there. I know it's there. And I tend to it and I welcome it. I don't push it away. I know it's there and I think that's just a sign of my character.
I think you're right. I think pushing things away turns into such a negative, more anxiety. But if we face it and accept it, it's there. That's okay.
Yes.
And we acknowledge it. Yeah. I think that helps us better.
Yeah, definitely. Big on holding space or tending to the parts of us that maybe we don't like so much.
I think
it's very helpful.
Yes. So you're a survivor, I'm going to say. And that surviving, so you bring that into your work with your clients, would you say?
I think they're definitely getting the benefit of personal experience in my room, because I believe them from the get-go. You know, yes. I believe it when they're coming in, you know, and it was something that I wasn't believed.
Yes.
People that I thought cared. So I believe them and I see them and I can hold a space for them, because not everybody understands the subject of emotional abuse. They don't get the severity of it, the complexity of it, the harm that it causes, the trauma. I bring it. I've definitely got lived experience. And it's not just that family dynamic that I was part of. I also, the more I healed and moved forward, I began to realise that actually I had many different unhealthy relationships in my life. I had My whole life was a pattern of getting into spaces and places where I didn't belong and I shouldn't have. And I was being exploited by many relationships in my life. So by me healing and working in myself and becoming the girl I am today meant that I've lost a lot of people. So again, my clients are getting the benefit of that, because I do believe that you becoming who you're always meant to be, who that authentic self, being really truthful, like fucking truthful stuff.
Yes.
You're going to lose some people then.
Yes. Yeah. No, you are. And I think we have to let go of some people. We have to say, I can't have that person in my life. We have to do that. I think people are brave to do that. Yeah. And I think, you know, some people say, I don't know what your opinion is, but for example, you break away from them, they're always there. And it's hard to accept that then, isn't it? Would you say? Like, it's hard to then, you've broken away, but they're still connected, they're still family members, but you never see them.
Yeah.
Like, you must, there's a sadness within that.
Sadness that they chose not to accept you for who you are. Chose not to have you in their life by behaving in the way that they behaved. Chose not to take accountability, not to take responsibility. They chose that.
Yes.
That's very, very difficult, because I would never choose to not have people in my life. I would want to resolve it. Any people that has, by the way, anybody that's no longer in my life has had every opportunity to be in it. The conversations were had and had and had again. Don't think, you know, that's not what I'm not condoning people just cutting off with, you know,
you try and try and try. You get pushed back. You have to.
Yeah. Two bites of the cherry. I kind of worked that way with friendships. Two bites of the cherry. They have to now go. Family was a bit longer, obviously, because, you know, for different reasons.
So when you look back on your family and your childhood, would you say from where you are now to back then, how much have you completely changed as a person? Or is it about your just growth within you that has able to deal with the situation?
I think I've always been this girl all along. I've always been outspoken. Right. I've always had opinions. I think I've always been a sensitive girl. I think I've always been, as a young girl, I always noticed things when they were wrong and I'd speak it out. That would get shut down and knocked out of me, if you like. I was born in the 70s, for God's sake. So it was never encouraged to be so opinionated or to speak truths. And it was never accepted. People thought I was dramatic. I was too sensitive. And I probably was dramatic and sensitive because I was a kid. I needed somebody to help me to process and to regulate stuff. And I was definitely responding to my environment. I grew up in a very volatile home. As much as on the outside, people wouldn't believe that, because on the outside, it was my middle class family. Dad was a teacher. Mom was a very, you know, an opera singer. All very good. And it was good. Lots of it was good, but lots of it have been exposed to. Yes. So I look at the parts that I shouldn't have been exposed to and see why I've gone into all these unhealthy relationships. Because I was taught to be quiet, shut up, don't speak. We can put the mask on, we can perform. So I became an excellent people pleaser. I thought it was normal to be treated like shit. I thought that was normal, and I would never speak up because you were taught to be silent. And that was normalised. So it turned out it's not normal, and it's not.
So being a people pleaser, that wasn't a choice, really, was it? Because that was your able to survive mechanism.
Don't cause a row. Don't cause conflict. Don't have the fight. You don't want not to be liked. You don't want them to be thought as a bad person, because it's bad. You've got to be good. You've got to be kind. rise above it. That's shit advice. That is really so, that's terrible advice to say that. Just rise above, be the better person. Also, you're asking me to tolerate,
you can't.
Tolerate abuse. Is that what you're asking of me now? So I can't, I won't do that anymore. But back then, that's what was to happen. Just be the better person. Go and make up with them. Go and you sort it out. It's better to be kind. That's codependency.
Yes.
Let's not teach our children not to have boundaries and self-respect. Let's not do that. And I was taught not to have boundaries and not to have self-respect. So, and to shut up and, you know, I just was great in court. Like, see, like, having a, you know, quite a volatile, but I could cope with so much.
Gosh.
So much I can, and I still can. Like, I can cope with.
Well, that's amazing.
Very resilient.
So did you sort of make a choice in your mind then to be a people pleaser, to be able to get through this situation? Is that what you think?
I think that's what happens naturally when you're in volatile environments. As a child, you naturally shut down your fight response.
Yes.
You naturally shut down your flight response. Yes. You go, oh, you can't move out. You can't run away. You kind of freeze down, disassociate, numb down. Well, it is inevitable, and then you access your foreign response, which is going along to get along, become subservient, service to others, and stop the conflict, stop the argument, and you work out what other people need before your own, because that's safer. And then, then you don't get hit, you don't get into trouble, you don't get told you're bad.
No, So from the child you were then to the adult now, that's completely changed for you. That making that choice.
I know who I am now. Yeah, I know who I am now. I don't.
Did it take strength, a lot of time to change into that person to not be a people pleaser?
People talk about healing. You know, I've had to heal those parts of me up.
Yes.
What I had to please and appease. I thought that if I did that, then there would, like, I didn't want conflict. I had to heal those parts of me that didn't feel worthy, that didn't feel good enough.
Yes.
Parts have had to be dismantled and reassembled into the girl that I am today. So I am a different person. I do believe I was meant to be this person all along. I think she was always there. She just wasn't allowed to come out. Because I know I'm a bit full on. I'm not daft. I'm not for everybody.
Well, you're for me. Because I really like your style.
A different girl from what I was. And I'm still not finished. I'm still evolving and learning, but I like who I am now.
Good, good. That's really positive. So now we're going to talk about your work. So when you're approached by a client, where do you start? So how do you, where do you begin with them?
It's really easy because I just ask the question, what do you want? Like, what do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want? And from there, off we go. But I always know, like, my client base is people that have been impacted by narcissistic abuse.
Yes.
So whether it's a narcissistic parent, a sibling, a family member, a work colleague, a partner, friendship. I'm working in that area all the time, emotional abuse. And then obviously people with trauma.
Yes.
Past trauma, and they know that they're running belief systems, perhaps they don't have any self-esteem, they don't have any self-worth, and therefore I'm definitely going back to childhood, because it tends to always reside back there. It started back there.
Do you believe that in all cases, that it all stems from childhood, or are there certain cases that maybe start from teenager or adulthood?
I think if you think about it as like our beliefs and who we are is very much formed in our child in our early years, isn't it?
Yes.
It all starts there. We're being told who we are. We'll be told who we're not. We're told if the world's a safe place, if it's not a safe place, are people kind, are people, you know, not trustworthy? We're being very much conditioned and programmed and informed who we are back then and the things that we've been exposed to. So, it tends to be back there, not unless you're working with a recent trauma and something's happening. But then if you're working with something recent, it tends to be that the person's reacting and responding, it's disproportionate to what's happening.
Yes.
Because they've got a wound from back there that hasn't
been
dealt
with. So if you clear the childhood
back there,
you'll find
more resilience. We can access rational, more logical thinking rather than the emotional wound that's actually leading us and being in control of us.
Have you worked with people that you feel they need something else. I don't feel that I can work with them.
Yes, I have.
And is that tough to say to them that I don't feel I'm the right approach?
Not surprised. They're not surprised when that comes, I think.
Ah, interesting.
The only people that I've ever had that happen to, the only people are narcissistic types themselves.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, I've had that in the room, and I can't work with that because they start to attempt to manipulate me in the room, and potentially, or they're looking for validation for me to be I validate their mindset and why they are to justify them. I'm never ever going to do that. So,
and
I
does that bring up a bit of trauma for you as well? Does that make you go back to how it was for you?
It's not nice. I don't like
it. No, I was going to say there might be a bit of a pull there.
There is a pull, that's correct. There is a pull, but I know I have to do it anyway.
Yes.
I have to. I've got to do my job correctly.
Yes, I mean, it's the same with me. I just do turn people down. I just listen to my heart and think, oh, no. You might need to go and see a psychotherapist. There are certain points that you have to say no, aren't there?
Absolutely. And the times that I have gone against my gut,
it hasn't worked.
Oh, man. No.
No.
No. Uh-huh.
That's so do you sort of give them skills? What skills did you learn yourself throughout this journey that you pass on to your client?
It depends what we're working on, you know. Yeah. A lot of people, sadly, that you tend to be sitting with people that are actually probably, well, they are, they're displaying signs of like post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes. Yeah.
Because of the trauma that is are exposed to this type of manipulation abuse. So you're really helping people to regulate, or you're working with inner child work, which is it's lovely, but it's incredibly emotional at the same time, to help people connect back to themselves, because a lot of people are angry at themselves, annoyed at themselves.
Yes.
And they feel wounded, and a lot of their pain is coming from quite a childlike mindset, which is coming back from the other stuff. So a lot of inner child work regulating, because I do embodiment work. Grounding techniques, NLP techniques to anchor in, you know, more nice positive emotions. Yeah, all sorts of different strategies that you can share with clients that they all seem to benefit from, because they've got something to take away as well as them as well.
I like the NLP. You lock it in.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Lock it in. Oh, yes. Yeah, I think that is really good. So do you have our listeners, they like a few techniques. I know you said a few, but do you have one that you practice yourself that you can share to the listeners that you do daily?
I'm a really practical person, actually. I'm more about, how would I describe it? So I do like meditate, right? I do meditate. I listen to hypnosis tracks. I love all that. I go to the gym, I walk. But I'm very disciplined in how I behave myself. Like, it's like I have a boundary of self-respect, right?
Right.
I choose never ever to walk over again. I never step over it. I'll never ever step over my own boundary of respecting myself or disrespect myself.
Wow.
So you're really making me dig deep here. And I'm sharing my personal. No, it's fine. It's I run my life every day by a three-step model.
Right.
And the first is knowing my priorities. So what's really important to me, what's in front of me, what needs to be done now, what's really important. So, and I'll always have a three in the go. Know it, stick with it. They'll shift in a few weeks' time, but just know what my priorities are. Know what my values are. So really being able to articulate my values, what's important to me, because that's the most that I'm on the right track. And then looking after my mental health and energy. So here's how I do it. So I get asked an awful lot of me. I'm sure you do too. People are always coming to me. Can you? I need you now. I've got a family. I'm a step parent. I've got a kid. I've got a busy house, right?
Yes.
So I can't give to everybody. So my boundary of self-respect has to be maintained and looked after. So I run it through the three steps on PIP. So what's my priorities? If what they're asking of me goes against my priorities, it's a no.
Right. If
they're asking something of me that is going against my values, or if they're behaving in a way that is not in keeping with my values, it's a no. If they're asking something of me that I do not have the energy or it's going to impact my mental health, it's a no.
Wow.
So that's how I work it. I always run everything on the outside that gets run through. Does that keep with my priorities? Is that so? If you'd asked me to do the podcast, right, and
yes.
you were not in my priorities, I'd have said no.
Yes.
We're in my values though.
Right.
Because the spiritual part is in my values, right? Yes. So I went, yes.
I'm very glad you did. I have the energy
and the mental health, but yeah.
Right.
So anything that comes through me, it's priorities, values and mental health and energy. All the time. And it keeps me buoyant. So I'm dead functional and practical that way. So why is meditation? Oh, that's nice. See when I just make sure I stay on track like that.
Yes.
Happy times.
And did it take long to find out what your boundaries were, or did you just know straight away?
Oh no, this has been like since the bloody awakening, since the biggest question of my life. I have like had to rip up the old Lorna. I mean, she's still in there, God love her, I hold her and hug her tight. But I've had to start again and to work out who I am and who I wasn't. So this has been the last 7 years, she's changed massively.
Fantastic. Brilliant.
So I worked it out what I was doing.
Yes. Fantastic. It's amazing. And helping so many people as well. It's just fantastic. Yeah. So where can people find you, Lorna? Well, what can you offer? Where can they find you? Where can they book in to have a session with you? And do you just have one session to see, or do you have like a 6 week, or how do you
work? You can have either or. A lot of people just choose one initially to see if me and them are going to connect. We tend to always connect, which is great. Not unless we get the narcissistic person not connected. You're going straight back out the door, pal. You're going out the door. But we can do one session, or you can book a package of sessions, whatever. I'm easy, Ozzy. You can find me on my website, which is www.mindpositive.co.uk. You will find me on Facebook. You will find me on Instagram. You will find me on TikTok. Yes. It's a wee while for appointments. I'm kind of like 6 weeks in advance at the moment. And look out for events and things like that, because I've got an event coming up. When have I got the next event? 1st of June. It's about uncovering the real cost of living an authentic life.
Right.
Talking about the costs of that. If you want to live your life, here's what it's going to cost you. Here's how to do it.
Is that on Zoom or in person?
This one's in person, but there's going to be a Zoom one coming up just after that. I'm doing an in-person one first, and then I'm going to be doing one, probably like a bit of a boot camp, actually. I'll probably do that over 5 or 6 weeks, just being people to jump in a Zoom with me for an hour, and we'll do a session on, and then a session on something else, and a session on something else. So we'll do that. That'll come up after June, and I'll advertise that soon.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. And just quickly, where would you see yourself in 5 years with your work? What would you like to achieve more than what you have already?
I'm really rubbish at that.
I'm
not joking. I'm actually really shit at that. I remember when these business comes, you know how you get that business gateway? People come in to the, these people come in and they try to help you and give you money. I didn't want them money. And they come in to say, you need to know what you're doing in 5 years. You need to know what you're doing in 10 years. And I said, I don't know what
you're right. Your answer is right. You don't need to know. You live your day each day.
It's happening. It's just happening naturally, very organically. And when I stepped into the space that I'm in now, doors just have opened, opened. So I ain't rushing that. I'm just going to see how it goes. I'm enjoying it.
That is the most important thing, I think, to enjoy and be passionate about what you do and, thriving on your inner strength to be able to do that. I think it's been remarkable, our podcast interview today. It's been such a journey for you and a wonderful to talk to you about it.
You.
So, Lorna, thank you so much for being on the Spiritual Surgery Podcast.
Thank you, Paula. Take care. Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us on the Spiritual Surgery Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, just send us an email to spiritualsurgery@thepsychicclinic.com.